the for sale sign went in the yard Monday. It was more difficult than perhaps we thought, but just remember, pray for concerning that situation. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. We're going to read beginning with verse 12, and we'll read through verse 1 of chapter 5. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphor with spikenard, spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh, and aloes, with all the chief spices. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. Again, throughout Song of Solomon, we see a bridegroom, I believe, represents Jesus Christ, and a bride, believing that that represents the kind of church that Jesus established during his earthly ministry. So you have these two, Christ and his church, and all through the book they are seen speaking to each other, they are seen speaking of each other. So Song of Solomon just paints a beautiful word picture with these two in communion with one another. The verses that we just read, the bridegroom does the bulk of the speaking. I believe it's him speaking the whole thing, except when you get down to the latter part of verse 16, let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Song of Solomon can be difficult at certain places, and you have to pay attention to pronouns, especially in order to know who's talking with who. But even then, sometimes it's hard to know for sure. But here I believe it's pretty plain. So reading prior to our text, we can get a sense of the tone and the mood of what he is speaking here and to her. In verses 1 through 7, verse 1, he says, behold, thou art fair or beautiful, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. And then he goes on and he through verse 7 and he gives a description of her, and there's much to be learned there. It's all very meaningful. But he's speaking of her beauty. He's speaking of her character. And then in verse 8, he desires her company. Again, this is Christ speaking to his church. He says, come with me. Come with me. What a wonderful thought that the Lord desires the company of us individually, but here tonight we're speaking of his church. He desires her company, and he says, come with me. And I believe the Lord says that every day. And in verse 9, hear him as he twice says, thou hast ravished my heart. He says that twice in verse 9. What he's saying to her is, you have captured. You have captured my heart. You have embraced my heart. You have delighted my heart. And then he continues in verses 10 and 11, again declaring his delight in her. And then coming to the text, he's still commending her. And in verse 12 and verse 15, he uses eight images or likenesses to describe her. Notice verse 12, you have a garden enclosed, that's one. My sister, that's two. My spouse, that's three. And a spring shut up is four. A fountain sealed is five. Verse 15, a fountain of gardens is six. A well of living waters is seven. And streams from Lebanon, eight. So he uses eight figures of speech. He's comparing these things to her, or comparing her to them. And the first image that he uses in verse 12 is a garden enclosed. And he enlarges upon this in the following verses, in verses 13 and forward. So he enlarges upon the fact that she is a garden. And I do believe that each local church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a garden. It is a garden of the Lord. And that's what we want to speak upon this evening. Home Baptist Church, the Lord's garden. Home Baptist Church, the Lord's garden. First of all, just think of the Lord's church as a garden. Paul used this image, referring to the Lord's church at Corinth, when he wrote unto them in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, he said, "Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's husbandry." And notice what he says there. Ye are God's. Ye are God's. You must never, ever lose sight of the fact that the Lord's churches belong to Him. Ye are God's. And then in verse 16 of our text, notice he says, my garden. Chapter 5, verse 1, he again says, my garden. And in verse 16, the bride refers to it as his garden. So each church of the Lord Jesus Christ is his. It's his. It belongs to him. That's what makes it peculiar. That's what makes it precious. That's what makes it so special. It's his. It's his. Home Baptist Church is Christ's garden. So let's give some thought to a garden. What does this mean? My garden, or his garden. Well, Christ's churches, like a garden, occupy not just a place, but a chosen place. When you think of a garden, the place for a garden has been selected. It has been chosen by whoever is going to plant or work in that garden. The place has been chosen, selected. So when you see a garden, you know that someone, for their own reasons, has selected that particular place for their garden. You may go and you may say, well, I wouldn't have put it there. I would have put it over here. But they had a reason for selecting that particular place for their garden. The Lord's churches are His gardens. And the Lord, for His own reasons and His own purposes, chooses their locations. I've heard people say through the years, well, why in the world is there a church there? Because the Lord put it there. I mean, it doesn't have to make sense to you and I. Gardens are not accidents. They don't just pop up. They have chosen, selected places. They don't just happen. And so it is with the Lord's churches. Home Baptist Church is Christ's garden that He planted in Mount Morris, Michigan. That's where He's put it. And He's done so on purpose. It wasn't an accident. And He did so with a purpose. Now the Lord, of course, can move His garden. He can certainly do that. But for now, the Lord has placed Home Baptist Church in Mount Morris, Michigan. That's His garden in Mount Morris, Michigan. Secondly, Christ's churches are like a garden. Like a garden, are separate and distinct from all that is around it. A garden, of course, is a piece of land that has been marked as separate from the surrounding land. It has been made and it has been kept distinctly different from the surrounding area. And as you look at a garden, you can see it is noticeably different from what surrounds it. It's not the same as what surrounds it. And there's a sharp and distinct contrast to the surrounding land. And all the surrounding area of a garden can be a wilderness, can be a wasteland. But that particular piece of land is separate. It is distinct from all that is around it. It's not of it. It has a connection, of course, but in reality, it's not of it. It's different. It's different than everything around it. Likewise, the Lord's churches. There's a reason ecclesia means called out assemblies. Called out. Called out of. So they're different. They are distinct from what they've been called out of. They're in the world, but they're not of the world. Jesus said in John 15 and 19 to His church, if you were of the world, the world would love its own. Because that's what people do. They love their own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. I've chosen you out of the world. You're different. You're distinct. And because I've chosen you out of the world, that means you're not of the world, and therefore the world hateth you. So again, just as a garden is different from its surrounding land, so the Lord's churches are altogether different than that which surrounds it. Home Baptist Church is Christ's garden, and therefore it is separate and it is distinct. Thirdly, Christ's churches, like a garden, are small in comparison to the surrounding area. The saved, of course, are very small in comparison to the unsaved. And from that small number of the saved, 1 Corinthians 12:28, God hath set some of the saved, not all, He hath set some in the church. So it's even a smaller group. He takes from that small group the saved and takes some of them and places them in the church. So comparatively speaking, the Lord's churches are small compared to the surrounding area. Fourthly, Christ's churches, like a garden, are designed for a special and very particular purpose. When a person lays out and plans a garden plot, they have some specific purpose in mind for that garden. They have a plan. They have a purpose for that garden. Perhaps all they're going to grow is corn. Perhaps they're going to grow corn, beans, potatoes, and so on. But they have a purpose. They have a purpose for that garden. So they know why they have selected the particular place for their garden. And now they have a definite plan and purpose for that garden. So the Lord has a place, He has a plan, He has a purpose for each of His churches. Jesus Christ called us out from the world, called the church out from the world for a very definite purpose, and He places them in a very definite place. And Home Baptist Church is Christ's garden. Fifthly, Christ's churches, like a garden, must be prepared places. Before a garden is sown or planted, the ground has to be dug and purged and well prepared. And as all that is going on, what does the gardener have in mind? His purpose. His purpose for the garden. So he prepares the garden to meet his purpose. And that's what the Lord does in his churches as well. And where there is a garden, someone gives it special care. Someone gives it special attention. And it's not the same care or same attention that you give the other part of the land. This is a special care and a special attention. And the Lord's churches are all the objects of His special care. The Lord takes care of each one of His people. The Lord even takes care of those who aren't His people. But there is a special care that He has for His church, that He has for His wife, His bride. He gives her a different kind of attention than He gives a saved person or even a lost person. He gives them different attention, just as you give your wife different attention than you do anyone else. Home Baptist Church is Christ's garden. It is, she is the object of His special care, His special attention. And in these days in which we live, we ought to thank God for His special care and His special attention. Sixthly, Christ's churches, like a garden, consist of specifically chosen plants or seeds. No one has a garden for the production of things which naturally grow. You don't have a garden for weeds. You don't have a garden for that which just springs up of itself. The plantings are carefully chosen. You're going to have a garden. You know what you want in that garden, and you plant accordingly. And there will be a variety of plants. There'll be several different kinds. And again, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body. He places them in the body as it hath pleased him. Well, I wouldn't have done it that way. Well, it's not your garden. It's his garden. And he plants in the body, positions each plant just where he wants it, as it pleases him. So the Lord's churches are a garden, and the Lord doesn't have a garden for the production, for the growth of weeds and briars. That's not why the Lord has a garden. But it doesn't have a garden for worthless plants. But he has specifically chosen plants that will produce the kind of fruit or vegetables that he wants. He plants what he wants. He plants what he wants his church to produce. It's the Lord's garden. As a rule, when one plants a garden, they have a variety. They usually don't just plant one thing. You can, but most people don't. They have a variety of plants. And notice here in verse 13 and 14, he says, thy plants, plural, are an orchard. That's many. An orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, plural, camphor, spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees. So there's a variety of trees of frankincense, myrrh, and aloes, with all the chief spices. So the Lord's garden is made up of a variety of plants. They are a variety of kind. They are a variety of appearance. They don't all look the same. They look different. A variety of stature. Some are taller than others. And I'm not talking about physical in the church. A variety of growth. Some plants will grow faster than others at different seasons than others. A variety of pleasantness. We see here the spices. And variety of uses. The Lord doesn't just plant one kind of plant in his churches. There's a variety. And the Lord chooses those people, places them where he pleases, in the garden, and he knows why he's put them here and not over here. He knows what he's going to use each one for. So he positions his plants in his garden. Again, Home Baptist Church is Christ's garden, consisting of chosen and positioned plants. Some are more attractive than others. Again, they don't all look the same. They're different. And they have different uses. Christ's churches, like a garden, are protected. He says there in verse 12, a garden enclosed. It speaks of the fact that measures have been taken to protect the garden, to keep out that which will take from the garden. So a person usually fences their garden against the intrusion. In this case, it could be the intrusion of an enemy or destroyer. A person fences their garden to protect it from animals and anything that might feed off of it or destroy it. And the Lord encloses his garden. You might enclose a garden for the sake of distinction, to see that it's separate from everything else. And the Lord encloses his church for distinction's sake and for protection. It's the same reason you have borders in a country. You have to protect it from intrusion. And God, in his infinite wisdom, has provided protection for his church, for his churches. It is protected by all the resources and all the power of God. Matthew 16:18, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it because of his power. So he protects it with his own resources, protects it with his own power. It's protected by the word of God. It's protected by the ordinance of baptism. And you look at the Lord's churches throughout history, and the devil has tried in every conceivable way to destroy her from the very beginning to present. But the Lord has enclosed his churches, and she's been kept. She was kept through the dark ages. Throughout history, she has stood the test. And though she has been slandered and ridiculed, and her robes have often been stained with martyr's blood, she lives. She lives. And that's because of the Lord's protection of his churches. She marches on because the Lord protects his garden. She has been kept from the enemy for over 2,000 years. And that's to the glory and the praise of God. He encloses his churches for his own use. And Home Baptist Church is a garden enclosed. Also, Christ's church is like a garden, involves some cost. They involve some labor. You have to keep certain things out of a garden. The plants must be watered. The plants must be pruned. The plants must be fed. The ground needs to be dunged. And the fences or whatever have to be kept up. So it is with the Lord's churches. They require some weeding from time to time. And when you pull weeds in a garden, some wisdom needs to be exercised, because you don't want to pull up the plants while you're pulling up the weeds. You don't want to mistake a plant for a weed. So care has to be taken. Wisdom has to be exercised. And you see that truth is presented there in Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30. You remember an enemy had sown some tares. And he said, just leave it alone until harvest, lest ye, in pulling up the tares, pull up some wheat. He's telling them, be careful. Be careful. You don't just go in like a bull in a china shop and just rip everything out that looks like a weed. Wisdom needs to be exercised. But a garden takes cost. A garden takes labor. Christ's churches, like a garden, have certain needs. Every garden has needs. A lot of it depends on the plants that are in the garden. But The soil has needs. The plants have certain needs. And since all the plants aren't exactly the same, their needs may not be exactly the same. They have some common needs, but then they have some different needs. And so it is with the Lord's churches. People look at other church members and they say, well, I don't see why they're so needy in that area. I'm not. Well, you're a different plant. You're a different plant. Not everybody's the same plant. Not everybody has the exact same need. But the soil and the plants have certain needs, and these needs, of course, are imperative for their health and for their productivity. And we see that from verse 16. This is the Lord's desire for His church. He says, awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices may flow out. So there's the need of the Holy Spirit in the Lord's churches. The need of the Holy Spirit to come and to abide. The church will not survive without the Holy Spirit. It's not going to happen. The Holy Spirit must come and abide, and the Holy Spirit must fill. And the Holy Spirit must comfort and empower and enable her to bear fruit. So the Lord's churches are like a garden. Home Baptist Church is a garden. Thank the Lord for the gardens of the Lord. And then notice the desire of the Lord for His churches. Again, verse 16. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden. This isn't the bride speaking, this is Him speaking. My garden. That the spices thereof may flow out. So He speaks to the north wind, and He speaks to the south wind. And again, I believe that typifies the Holy Spirit, the influences of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to Nicodemus in comparing the wind to the Holy Spirit in John 3, verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, where it willeth. So it is with the Holy Spirit. The Lord's churches need the irresistible wind of the Spirit of God. The north wind is different than the south wind. Serves different purposes. The north wind is more of an awakening type. Purifying. Can be piercing in nature. And oh, how the Lord's churches need the north wind to blow through. To just blow through. The south wind brings warmth. And all for the south wind to blow through His churches. So what we read here in verse 16, the portion that we read, is that Christ's garden needs the wind. Needs the influence of the Holy Spirit. And without this, you and I as individuals and the Lord's churches are impotent and deficient. Notice the results of this wind. His desire is for the north wind to come and the south wind to blow upon my garden. That. And then notice what it says. That the spices thereof. The spices in that garden. That special fragrance to the Lord. That it may flow out. It's pleasing to the Lord. Those spices, He's planted those plants. And those spices that flow out of that garden are pleasing to God. And it requires the influence of the Holy Spirit. So you see here, the Holy Spirit's influence produces an outflow of what the Lord has planted. It produces an outflow of what pleases the Lord. And I believe the Lord gets great delight when the spices flow out of His gardens, of His churches. Then notice the desire of the church. Verse 16, latter part. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat the pleasant fruits. That is, and partake of what he has planted. Let my beloved. So she expresses his love, her love for him. Let my beloved come. Let him come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Again, you have the two pronouns, his garden, his pleasant fruits. Again, it's a recognition of ownership. Let him come. It's his garden. Let him come into his garden. So she desires him to come. She desires him to draw near. That means she desires his presence. Let him come into his garden. Every church of the Lord must have the presence of the Lord. And every church of the Lord ought to have an overwhelming desire. Let him come. Let him come. Every time we meet, that ought to be our desire. Let him come into his garden. Let him come into his garden. The Lord's presence is a manifestation of who He is. When He comes into His garden, He manifests who He is. And it's in the Lord's presence that we find a more meaningful communion with God. It's in His presence. You can commune with somebody better in their presence than not in their presence. It's in His presence that we have a more relevant experience of Him. Oh, how we ought to desire for Him to come into His garden. Because we can commune with Him better. And because we have a deeper or more relevant experience. It's in His presence that we have a closer relationship with Him. And it's in His presence that we have a greater enjoyment of Him. You see, if you don't enjoy the Lord, you've got a real problem. Let my beloved come into His garden. She desires His presence, and it's an overwhelming, it's a consuming desire. Let my beloved come into his garden. Notice that she not only desired that he come, but notice it says, eat and eat his pleasant fruits. There's a realization here that everything in the garden is for him. It's for him. And everything in the Lord's churches ought to be for him. Let him come and eat his pleasant fruits. Her attitude is, it's all for him. It's all for him. That must be our attitude as individuals. That must be our attitude as a church body as well. And then lastly, notice the opportunity of the Lord's church. Again, she prays, "Let my beloved come into his garden." And then notice verse 1, "I am come into my garden." I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. What glorious words. I am come into my garden. What gracious words. What loving words. What merciful words. I am come into my garden. And he comes with an invitation. Notice again, verse 1. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Again, that's why she wanted to come, to partake of what he's planted. And then he says, eat. This is an invitation. Eat, O friends. He comes in friendship. If the Lord comes to you, you better hope it's in friendship. Amen. Eat, O friends. Drink. And then you have that little word, yay. Eat, drink, yay. The word yay means not only so, but drink abundantly. Don't just eat and drink, but do so abundantly, plentifully. O beloved, he calls her. Eat, drink, yea, drink abundantly. O beloved. So what you have there is an invitation from him to partake of what is his. What a privilege. What an opportunity that the Lord would come into his churches and invite us to partake of what is his. And notice what it is. It's my myrrh, my spice, my honeycomb, my honey, my wine, my milk. And then it is eat. Eat what's mine. Eat, O friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. What a blessed opportunity belongs to the Lord's churches. When he says, eat, drink, drink abundantly. Again, he's inviting us to partake of what is his. That's fellowship with him. And every time we come into God's house, we ought to desire to partake of what is his and to have fellowship with him. Why? Because this is where wisdom is found. This is where spiritual desires are revived. This is where spiritual or divine enablement is found. This is where spiritual fulfillment is found. So he comes. He says, I am come into my garden. What grace. And then he says, eat, O friends. Drink. Yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. We picture a table of spiritual feasting. When we come to the house of God, it ought to be to partake of what is his. That's why we come, to partake of what is his and to worship and praise him. What a privilege, what an opportunity for the Lord's churches. In closing, in Psalm 92, we see the blessing of being a plant in the Lord's garden. Verse 13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord, planted by him. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. I delight in the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has a garden, has many gardens. And I thank God that I have been planted in that garden, that I can live my life as a plant in that garden. In that particular garden that God has, in this case, Home Baptist Church, what a thrill to be planted. I know, there is no doubt in my mind, I didn't plant myself because I wanted nothing to do with the Lord's churches. I didn't plant myself. He planted me. And life's been good in the Lord's gardens. It's been good. There's no better place to live life on this earth than the Lord's gardens. None of His gardens are perfect. They have flawed plants. Every plant in the garden has flaws. There's no better place to be on this earth than in one of the Lord's gardens. And all that the spices would flow out. It's like if you plant a garden, you take and you get your harvest and you sit down and you have potatoes from your garden and beans from your garden and corn from your garden. You get a special delight in that. You get a special pleasure in that. And so the Lord does from His churches. So thank the Lord that Home Baptist Church is a garden of the Lord. Thank the Lord that you've been planted in that garden. We're a blessed and privileged people. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us.